Hi, everybody. This is April, speaking to you from Space Year 2023. That's right. I'm cutting in here to let you know that it has now been 10 years, a full calendar decade since I started this podcast, Go Bayside. And as you've probably noticed the entire time, it was very DIY. I was never on a network. There's never been any ads in any of the episodes. And now that it's been 10 entire years that it's been out there in the ether on every possible podcast player for you to enjoy, I am taking the first 50 episodes and I am archiving them. So episodes 1 through 50 will now only be available on my Patreon, which is patreon.com/AprilRichardson. If you go there, there's several tiers that I think are very reasonable. The first being just to have access to all of the Go Bayside archive episodes. The rest being to catch up on the new stuff that I'm making should you be interested in hearing me talk about other things that aren't Saved by the Bell related. So there you go. It's been 10 years, you guys. 10 years listening to me talk nonsense about this television show. And now you can join me over at patreon.com/AprilRichardson. Or if it's easier for you to remember, you can go to baremins.com. That is BAREMINS.com. And you can find all of the old Go Bayside episodes there for you to enjoy. Play until your heart's content. Leave comments. See the photos on my old green couch. Join us there, please. And thank you so much for 10 years of supporting Go Bayside. Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of Go Bayside. It's the Saved by the Bell podcast where I have a lovely guest over to watch an episode of the show with me, and then we really break it down to brass tacks for you listening at home. Now, today's guest is the lovely Julianne Smolinski. Did I say that right, by the way?
Yeah, you did, totally.
I was nervous about it.
No, first try. Good job.
Okay, awesome. And the episode that we just watched is called The New Girl, and the original air date was September 19th, 1992.
Wow.
Yeah.
Takes me back.
Right? And you were psyched. I was like, you got the first Tory episode?
I was really excited. Well, I'm less excited now than I was, because I really thought... I remember Tori being way cooler. I thought that she was more of like a role model to me, and now she's not.
She gave in kind of quickly.
Yeah, well, she really did.
Go ahead and give like a brief synopsis of the whole plot, and then we'll really break Tori down.
So in this episode, we are introduced to Tori Scott. It's unclear where she's from, especially based on her kind of crazy, like partially Bill Swirsky super fan,
totally
like Mountie accent. Yes. I don't know what that is.
It is like Midwestern, but then I guess also I was thinking Sarah Palin, so Alaskan
too.
I don't know, could be
Alaskan. There's
she's
a
like
little
Tori
bit of that.
Scat. Yeah,
Tori Scat. Yeah, she comes to Bayside. She immediately gets on Zach's wrong side by parking in his spot.
Yes,
with her motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
She has a very cool jacket, and then for some reason she joins the dance committee. I'm not entirely clear on why, which includes Lisa and like a 45-year-old man.
Yeah, yeah, that was
which
Ox.
Is very oh Ox. Yeah, I think he's a recurring character, right?
Sort of. He's in like five episodes or whatever.
Yeah,
and one a Scud, a metalhead.
Oh god.
Yeah,
Scud. He's a dream guy.
Yeah.
So then she helps Lisa plan the dance, and they stay up really late painting leaves, with the effect that she is. Oh, she's Zach's partner for some sort of advertising project.
Yes.
Again, unclear.
Yes.
Unclear what this class is.
Yes.
They're supposed to advertise products. So she's late to present. So Zach becomes resentful of her. And they sort of spar a little bit, but it's not sexy. It's just like they're both irritating people.
Yeah.
And then they annoy each other. And then for some reason, Tori suddenly decides that she's into him now.
Yeah.
They go to the dance. He kind of rejects her advances. And they like finally agree to sort of start anew. But it ends with Tori being totally friend zoned because she puts on her leather jacket. And he's like not into it.
Okay. First of all, beautifully done.
Thank you.
Beautiful and concise.
Thank you.
Second of all, while you were doing it, made me think, what if this is like the first ever instance of negging?
Oh my God.
Because like the meaner Zach is to her, the more she's into it.
Well, and he's so, yeah, exactly. He's so not into her, and she's, you know, she's cute. She's, you know, she's got a little bit of a, like, you know, kind of scary bike cop thing going on.
Yeah.
I might think that she's a little sexually intimidating, but she's definitely like a pretty girl, and he's just 100% not
he's
into
super
her.
Not into it. And the more he's not into it, the more she's trying to get him into it.
And the more that she likes him and is like explicit about it, the more he's just, he actually pivots and turns away from her.
Like
he
literally.
Totally. Literally. Yeah. So that's, it's disheartening.
What
I
if he's the blueprint for like mystery? What if mystery watched this episode and became mystery?
He did have.
He was like, look how good that works. Look at how good. How mean Zach is, and the meaner, the better that works.
And he's wearing a loud shirt
totally.
The entire
he's
time.
Peacocking.
This all adds up. He's peacocking.
What if this is no shit? Like the inspiration
the
for the
genesis
game.
Of totally. The game. Yeah. Well, she's totally into it. I mean, the episode we can see it now. It literally ends in a freeze frame of
yeah,
her.
Yeah, she's
looking
longingly
like,
at
that's
Zach.
Zach Morris.
Yes.
Kind of off into the distance.
Totally.
Yeah.
Well, it opens. It opens with Zach storming into school in the hallway, like yelling, who parked in my space?
Like really kind of in like a like your dad came home from the bar angry kind
of
way. It honestly is a little violent, and the audience reaction to it is tense.
Totally. And everyone in the hallway is even like scurrying away like, oh shit, Zach's on a rampage.
Yeah, it's like very David Mamet all of a sudden.
Oh my
things
God,
get
totally.
A little scary.
Yeah. And tense. He keeps like yelling this. And then that's when I think Screech comes up and is like, oh, it was a biker dude. Oh, because because Zach's like, it's a motorcycle, not even a car.
Yeah. And then Screech describes it as a man who's in the spot. So we have like a little bit of gender politics at play, especially since Tori, who, you know, maybe doesn't conform to some Bayside gender norms.
Yes.
Comes strolling in.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then that's when he goes. Yeah. So she comes in, you know, she's wearing a biker jacket and
so
carrying
really,
a helmet.
It's not like a fitted no. Like Italian style moto jacket. It is a very boxy
number.
No,
that's like what Hell's Angels wear.
Yeah, it is really, really wide.
That's
across
not
the
from
shoulder.
Wilson's The Leather Experts. That's straight from like
that
the
came
Hell's
off
Angels
a body.
Collection.
That came off a body.
That came off a body she hit with her motorcycle and then sped off. So she comes in. She's carrying the helmet. So it's like clearly this is who it is.
Clearly.
And so Zach goes up to her and is like, hey, you're in my space.
Uh-huh. Very menacing.
Immediately. Like, you're my, not like, who are you? Oh, you're a new student.
I've never seen you before here. He's like, get out of my space.
And this is where, he's immediately a dick. And then she's like, so what?
Yeah.
So he's technically in the wrong because he started the aggression.
And she very logically is like, we're high schoolers. We don't have assigned parking spots.
Yes.
Which, you know, is another point I feel like we should address here.
Completely.
Doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen at all. Yeah. And so she, and then he goes, no, you don't understand. I'm Zach Morris.
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't give a fuck. That means nothing
to
me.
She does not care. She's not into it. She's uncharmed.
This starts, to me, I get ready because I get like so deep into everything.
Uh-oh. This is
just
good.
Okay. He started it. He's a dick first.
Yes.
Without question.
Clearly.
Because he doesn't even say like, hey, by the way, you're clearly new here. Maybe you don't know. Like, this is where I park all the time, whatever. It's just immediately like, what the fuck?
Oh, it's super rude.
But then she also, I mean, I guess it's a natural reaction to that rudeness, but she, because I feel like I'd go, okay, wait a minute. Like, who are you?
Yeah.
I don't know who you are. Like, da da da. But it's just immediately like back and forth.
Well,
barbs.
And if you're the new kid in school, you're probably on the defensive a little bit.
Yeah,
and
totally.
There's like, there's nothing. Did you ever move around a lot?
No, I moved. I was only the new kid in like second grade. Oh. We moved into a house when I was in second grade, but then that was it.
Yeah, I moved a lot. And like, if that's your first impression is somebody being like, get out of my parking spot, you'd be like, I hate it here and I want to go back to Michigan.
Immediately. Yeah.
Or
did you move around
from.
A lot?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or are you from like a military family or something?
No.
Or?
I just, you know, my parents changed jobs a lot. So
oh, okay.
One of those.
Yeah,
one
just
of
like
those
got
deals.
Transferred a lot and stuff. Mm-hmm. Totally.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but you're right. I mean, yes, it's like her first day at this new school. That's her first interaction with any student is this guy in her face.
And it's really negative.
And it's super negative.
He's
and
supposed
she's
to be like the ambassador of Bayside.
Yeah. He's like the cool dude. And he's in her face. And she, but rightfully so, she is like, well, fuck you, dude.
Yeah.
I don't know you. I don't give a care. And like you said, we're high school students. We don't get assigned parking.
Yeah. And you never really see Zach act mean necessarily. I think that this was kind of a weird.
Yeah, that he's immediately.
He's going out of his way to be a dick here.
It is, because he is Zach. I mean, Zach's normal move is to, like. I mean, he is a sociopath and a schemer, but completely. It's usually to, like, he charms people out of shit.
Yeah.
He doesn't get, like, aggro.
Yeah, no, this is menacing. He's, like, in Stanley Kowalski mode here.
And he's totally threatened by this woman. He is. This clearly
this
strong.
Masculine, strong woman. Yeah.
Let's be real
with
about
her
that. Bike. So that's when he goes, like, she walks off. Tori's like, I don't give a shit. I don't know who you are. Bye. Walks off. And that's when he, like, complains to Lisa and Slater and Screech and is like, she's going to be out of my space by lunch.
Yeah.
And that's when I said, I was like, well, what? You've already parked. Like, what difference?
You clearly found another spot.
Yeah.
At this point, you're just trying to prove a point. The audience is really uncomfortable.
Yeah. You parked already. You're in school. Everything's fine now. Are you going to leave class to go move your car closer?
Apparently,
like, who cares?
Apparently, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah. So he storms into Belding's office and is, like, complaining to Mr. Belding. Now,
he's unmoved. Belding is unmoved.
He is, but not to the degree that I think... He should be.
He should.
Because if this is real life, this is real life, you're 16, I guess they're 18 now, you storm into your principal's office and you're like, principal, some other student is parked in my non-existent saved parking space. He would just be like, okay, you just need to leave my office.
Yeah.
I care so little about this, I'm not going to give you a second of my time.
It's like, do you watch Parenthood?
No.
Oh, it's like there's a kid who has Asperger's on Parenthood, and this is like very like Zach going to the principal and being like, you have to get out of my space, and having the administrators just kind of say, try to reason with him. It was very like
that's
he's having
a
meltdown. Yeah. Oh, it's like a constant thing. This was a very like someone's in Zach's spot.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's
like, he wouldn't spend 1 second comforting him. He would just be like, this is a non-problem.
Yeah. You're an asshole. Get out of my office.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, especially because he doesn't have Asperger's. He doesn't have anything where you need to treat him with delicate.
He's just a cool
teen.
Who loves his parking spot.
Yeah. So, but that's when Belding is like, actually engages with him and says, look, here's the student handbook. It says no assigned student parking.
Yeah.
And then Zach is like, okay, give me a second because I'm going to find a loophole.
Zach pulls out like the Air Bud rule. It's
totally.
Like, there's no law here that says there isn't student parking.
Totally. So he's combing through this. And again, though, to me, I told you, I get deep. I get into it. That's another, like, Belding would have been like, leave my office. Leave my office.
Like, get out of here. This is ridiculous.
He wouldn't be like, sure, go ahead and leisurely sit there during the school day.
Take a seat. Clearly, you have no place else to be.
Just go ahead and
go through the handbook.
Take your time.
See if you can't find something in there that justifies you having a parking spot.
He'd be like, yo, bounce out of my office. This is annoying. So Zach sits down. He starts looking. Now, I had to write this down. Because he goes, look. He's like, aha, check it out, Belding. And he's like, what? And he's like, it says here, a principal can can override any rule at any time. And then Belding goes, look, it says, except for student parking. Now, the reason I wrote that down is the beautiful specificity of
that. That's amazing.
That would never say that.
It would never in a million years. That's...
They don't feel that passionately about student parking that it would be like literally any rule, any of
except
these rules
for student parking
can be, you can override them except for student parking.
For student parking. Yeah, no, that clearly Belding had to whip that up out of somewhere.
Yes. So that was just super hilarious to me. And so as he's sitting there, he goes back to look for more. That's when the dance committee comes in. And
she was really hoping it was something else other than what it was.
Yeah. Well, we thought it was a prom at first because of the intense planning.
It's a fall ball,
which is, I think on a couple episodes ago, we were talking about this because I don't know. We had a homecoming dance and prom and like maybe something in between. But we never, this place has like a dance like every week.
Every couple of weeks, yeah.
I mean, did you guys have that? Where did you grow up?
Where did you go to high school? In Shaker Heights, which actually is supposed to be, I think, one of the basis high schools for the show. Which
really?
I mean, that was always the rumor going around. Whoever invented the show, whoever created the show was based on Shaker Heights High School, which is very, very, I don't know if that's
was your high school anything like this?
No, it was nothing like this. Not at all. I mean, it was.
You didn't bro down with your principal every second?
I did not.
And have 9 dances a month?
No. And the weird part was like, I think there was a homecoming dance and then there was a prom. It wasn't like even a junior prom. There was just homecoming and then prom. And nobody went to homecoming unless it was like you were going to go and get super drunk and like grind on people. And nobody did that. We were like, why would we ever do that in a million years? Which is like, we were like the Tory, like motorcycle clad, cool kids.
Right.
We would never. Well, we'll get to what happens at the fall ball in a bit.
Oh, totally. Well, I just didn't know if you even at your high school had like a fall theme.
I barely went to prom, like barely. So
I went to prom and I think I went to the homecomings. But yeah, I don't even know if there's anything between those because I didn't go. And there certainly wasn't like the big deal that they made it out to be. So yeah, so they're having a fall ball. They come in for the meeting and the committee is Lisa's the head of the committee, and also, like you pointed out, for some reason Slater is on a dance committee,
which he would never
be, even if you wanted to. He's on literally every sports team, so he wouldn't even have the time.
Yeah, he's busy wrestling. He says nothing throughout the entire meeting.
Oh, nothing. He's just, at all.
I have no idea why he's even there.
No idea.
They were like, "You're here today, Mario Lopez. Why don't you stand in the background?
Right. Why don't you just film this?
Take some of the like weird tension out of Zach being in a room with this girl again."
Well, right. Well, yeah. Because while he's sitting there, he jumps up again to go tell Mr. Belding, like, "I found another thing," and that's when Tori comes in.
Tori comes in
and she sits in his seat.
Yeah, she sits in his seat, and I think this is around the time that Lisa is suggesting the theme for the fall ball, and mostly she wants it to be an evening in Paris so it can be catered by a French chef.
A French chef. Because we both were like, okay.
That seems a little
unlikely. And that even made me think, did I even have food at prom? I feel like we had like pretzels or whatever. Like,
whatever,
I mean?
They're like, just something to soak up the alcohol, like something in there.
I don't remember our proms being catered and having meals. And she's like, I want a French chef
for high school students.
Yes.
Yeah.
At their dance.
Yeah. It's no.
So while she's proposing that very expensive idea, Tori comes in. While Zach's back's turned, she sits in his seat. Classic repeat of the parking space
she
situation.
She parked in his spot again.
Yes.
With her butt.
Yeah. Yeah. And so he turns around and he's like, "You gotta be fucking kidding me.
Yeah.
What are you doing?"
Yeah. The audience is on tenterhooks waiting for him just
to
give her a haymaker.
Like, he gets in her face. He's so... You think for a second, is he going to fight her?
He's finally going to snap.
Yes.
There's something like he looks, he's got a crazy look in his eyes.
There's a second where you feel like somebody has to go, "Zach, that's a girl. Like, you can't fight a
girl." She is a woman. She's got huge shoulder pads on, but she's a lady.
Yeah. So he's like really in her face about it. And again, she's just like, "Deal with it, dude. I guess I got another one of your parking spaces." So that's when he storms out. And the next scene is they're in this class, and like we said, I don't know what class it is.
There's very little clue as to what kind of like an advertising class.
Well, the guy who comes in, I remember him from a previous episode where he's like a super mean history teacher or something.
Oh,
he doesn't say what the class is, but he assigns them. Oh well, first it opens before class starts. Zach is like spitting game at Ginger.
Uh-huh.
And he's just saying the words to Pretty Woman to her.
Yeah, which, first of all, I don't feel like a teenager in 1990 necessarily is quoting Roy Orbison lyrics at anybody. And they're not really even that charming.
They're not that great of lyrics.
Yeah, it sounds like he's having a stroke, basically.
Yes! Because the weird cadence he's using.
Yeah, it's creepy.
It's super weird. And then, so he's midway through doing this, and Tori calls him out. Like, Tori
clearly
says,
a fan of classic rock. Ah, Tori,
of course,
she's like,
she's definitely
you,
blasting
Morris.
Roy O on the back of that hog, without question. But so in the middle of it, she says to Ginger, "Like, don't you know that he's just saying the lyrics to Pretty Woman to you?"
Yeah, she's really, really hostile to other women.
Yes,
for the entirety of the episode, except for Lisa. But she's just like, "You're an idiot. You're dumb."
Yes.
Which is really,
like, to Ginger's face.
To Ginger's face.
To be fair, Ginger is an idiot.
Yeah, she's a dummerd.
But, you know, you're a new kid. You've already got it rough with this cool guy. Like, maybe not make constant enemies.
You're just swaggering into the history of advertising. Yeah. like you own the place. Whatever this weird class is.
Well, I love that scene not only for because like what teen is quoting Roy Orbison,
yeah,
but also Zach. It's Zach fucking Morris, the king of swagger. Like you don't need to rip off song lyrics.
Well, and the better part is when it comes time to choose a partner for their advertising projects. Zach is alone.
He's alone!
Which would never happen!
Yeah, like, this, so much of this episode is bonkers, because any girl would go out with him. Mm-hmm. He would just go up to her and go, hey, I'm Zach, and she'd be like, yeah, I'm going out with
fine.
You.
Okay, fine, yeah.
And anyone in that class, if he was like, hey, I'm Zach, be my partner, they'd be like, yes, of course. Yeah, that's Zach Morris.
My life is changing right now.
Yes!
It would be incredible.
Yes! So, it's super weird that he's, like, alone every step of the way, and yes, the guy assigns, whatever this class is, he's like, you guys pair up. Mm-hmm. I'm going to provide you with a product that exists already, and you are going to come up with an advertising campaign for it.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I don't know what I didn't take any classes in high school.
I
like
don't
this.
Know what this high school class is.
And you're right. Is it marketing? Do you take marketing in high school?
I mean, maybe if you go to like a vocational school, or I have no idea. It's deeply unclear.
So that is the assignment somehow, right? And mm-hmm. and like you just said, like everyone pairs up, and then the teacher is like, mm-hmm. who doesn't have a partner? Zach raises his hand. Makes zero sense. Tori raises her hand, makes perfect sense, because no one wants to be the partner with the new kid, person. Of course.
So we have the continuation of like the world's most hostile and uncomfortable meet cute.
Yes.
It's like, also, we're in some sort of parallel universe. This is like a Twilight episode dimension where Zach is uncool and he hates women.
Yes.
He's really mean.
He's just like in a bad mood this whole episode. It's unlike anything we've ever seen
from
Zach.
He's not charming at all. He has
no game, like, no charm. No sparkle. So of course, this teacher in this weird class is like, okay, well, you guys are partners.
Mm-hmm.
And he gives them a computer date book. That's their product that they have to come up with mm-hmm. an ad campaign for. And I can't remember the name. I remember, like, my dad had one of these.
I remember, like, PDAs, but I don't know if these were PDAs. But they were, like, little flip top. They looked like calculators or birth control.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And because I remember my mind being, you know, this is like pre-internet and everything. So I remember my dad having a similar version of whatever this was, because I was like, oh my God, this is insane. Yeah. Like, it just was so advanced.
Yeah.
But I can't remember for the life of me what it was called. But they did have, you know, like BlackBerry. It was like a name like that.
Yeah, it was something.
But I can't remember. So it's a real thing. So that's another weird part of the project.
Not a Palm Pilot. Is it a Palm Pilot? Yeah.
Yes!
It's a Palm. See?
That's totally now what it is.
They basically are selling a Palm Pilot.
Yeah.
Which, why would anybody need to do that? It sells itself.
It sells itself.
Clearly.
Especially in this year, everybody would go, holy shit, that's amazing. Yeah, of course I'll buy it because I've never seen anything like it. But I find it weird that I would guess that part of like it's not part of the project to like invent a fake thing and then advertise it. It's like advertise this real thing that's already on the market. So I would assume they're already seeing commercials for this thing.
Yeah, it doesn't. It makes zero sense. It makes very little sense. Yeah. It would be like somebody being like, here, come up with a pitch for the Walkman, which is real. I don't know.
And you just be like, well, I just saw an actual commercial for that last night. Like, why would I? It's so weird. So whatever. That's their thing. They have a computer date book. So they meet. Everybody's at the max, like working on their projects.
Mm-hmm.
Slater is paired up with Screech. Classic move, because like, you know, the nerd's going to do all the work and you get to chill. And you did point out, because they're both sitting at a table. Screech is reading a book and Slater's just turning the pages for him. And he's eating an apple.
He's eating an apple, which I feel like he had to have brought that apple to the max, which is
Because
really
you pointed it out, I howled laughing because I love imagining that it's on the menu.
Yeah,
there's an apple on the menu. Max, you're like, it's like under appetizers.
I'll take an apple.
I'll have a single apple.
A cola.
And God damn it, I repeat myself every motherfucking episode, but that, again, leads to my obsession with the business plan of the Max.
Oh, yeah.
Because if those fuckers are selling single apples on the menu, no wonder you
and
have to have a marathon
sodas that nobody
or a
touches.
Telethon to get money to pay your rent. What would you sell a single apple for on
it's
a
like,
menu?
It's like the loitering cafe. Nothing. There's no commerce that takes place there.
It's what being
Millie
said.
They make money. It's gotta
just
be
like
a mob
public
front.
Space.
It's terrible.
It's like, welcome to the Max. Bring your own food in here.
Bring your own apple in here. Sit here for hours studying. Yeah. So they're together. Slater is eating an apple. Their product. Their product does not exist.
Yeah, their product, we find out later, is like windshield wiper glasses.
Yeah, which, you know, they're way too enthusiastic about.
Those are at Spencer's Gifts. Yeah. Like, they're a novelty thing.
That's like a thing you'd see in like a cute fake Japanese book.
Yeah, yeah. It's not like, oh, yeah, people wear these in everyday life. It's like, no, that's a novelty thing.
Yeah.
But, so they're working on that, and then Lisa shows up and physically drags Slater to the like other table to meet for the dance committee.
With the party planning committee, who once again are convening for the second time in the day.
Apparently
these kids don't have to worry about getting into college or doing homework.
Or doing anything else.
Yeah.
They're focused on this dance, and then Lisa's just a straight up tyrant. Like, she's a total dick. Anything they say, they go, hey, what if we have, no, that's fucking dumb. Like, she's yelling at them like they're all idiots.
Yeah.
And they go,
it's very goop. She insists on hand-painted real leaves. She doesn't want fake leaves.
Oh my God, yeah. So when it's decided, well, Tori saves the day. Tori's the one that was like, let's have a fall ball because pumpkins and leaves and shit are cheap, if not free.
How is that not the theme of fall ball to begin
with? Anyway, yeah, it's like, why wouldn't you do that? So they're like, okay, cool. And then so when they go, hey, whoever says it, Slater or whoever's like, hey, we'll get a bunch of leaves. We'll spray paint them like gold and brown or whatever. Yeah, that's when she goes, I want real leaves and I want them hand painted. Now,
yeah.
First of all, if it is indeed the fall and you get real leaves, they're already different colors.
This is
like,
true.
Jesus, Lisa, you need them to be so vibrant.
Paint
like,
them.
No, I don't want like nature's golds and browns. Like, I want them to really pop. The idea of these high school students sitting with a paintbrush. And like hand painting them.
It's bonkers.
Like, that would take years.
Yeah. It's like, it's something that high schoolers in an
That's
institution
like when you,
would
like,
do.
Write your name on a rice thing.
On rice.
It's like that.
Like one of those Buddhist sand paintings.
Yeah, yeah. It's like that level of commitment.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I was hoping that Ox was going to flip over the table and leave.
Oh, great. Just roid rage over this. Well, yeah, so.
You know, he's just a simmering. Massive roid rage.
Yeah, it is kind of funny that he doesn't get the maddest. But they all, every time they give a practical idea, she's like, goes goop with it.
Yeah.
And is like, no, hand-painted, gluten-free, whatever.
It's very weird.
And they're just like, God, calm down. And she goes, my dance is going to be awesome. And they're like, your dance. And that's when they're like, fuck you, and just storm out.
Yeah.
So,
which is the right thing to do.
I would have done it earlier. At the mention of hand painting leaves, I'd have been like, ghost out of there. Yeah. So they all leave. And then that's when Lisa walks over to Tori and is like, hey, like tries to butter up. It's like, Tori, what's up? Hey, how's it going? And Tori's a straight shooter. She's like, look, I saw what you just did. I'm not helping you if you talk to me like that for one second.
It's amazing. It is. So empowered. She seems like she's been reading a lot of self-help literature.
Totally.
She's just like, you can't speak to me that way.
I loved it. And like, as a teenager.
Weird that she can't be like that with men.
Thank you. Like, why does that not carry over to Zach? But Lisa, I love it.
She's powerfully sexually attracted to Zach,
I
guess.
It's true. And as much when I was watching this and I was like getting disappointed and I was like wanting to clown on it, like there was like way too much of this I identified with because I was totally a tomboy as a teenager. I mean, I dressed like the Deal Sisters. I was like, I'm going to be in L7. I'm going to play bass in L7 when I grow up. Don't fuck with me. And so I got that because like I would totally like dudes, but then I was always one of the dudes.
Yeah.
I was always that girl where guys are like, it's so cool hanging out with you because you're not lame like my girlfriend. Like that kind of shit where I'm like, oh, thanks? Like that sucks. That's a shitty thing to say. I still want to French you even though you think I'm a dude and that's shitty.
But also I can like fun on you a little bit because, you know, you're so tough and you can take it.
Yeah.
He says to her when they're kind of brainstorming about ways to sell their computer date book.
Yeah.
Something like, you would never use it because nobody would date you.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Oh.
Well, because that's what they're doing.
Stone cold.
That's totally what they're doing before Lisa comes over. And you're right. Like, she's sitting there going, all right, how are we going to do this? How are we going to sell this computer date book? And he's like, well, you don't know because yours would be empty if you had one because nobody wants to date you.
It's really mean. It's just uncalled for. They've kind of been dicks to each other the whole episode.
They've both been dicks to each other, but
not even the merits like that level of aggression.
No.
This is like the kind of relationship where you'd be like, I don't like that person. Not yes. like, let's continue to needle and or try to go out with the other person.
Well, plus if I were her, I'd be like, Hey, guy, this is day two at your school.
Two.
I've been here
I'm
2 days.
Here. I'm from wherever I'm from in whatever class this is.
Yeah.
This is all very mysterious.
Yeah.
Let's just try to, you know,
I'd
get
be
through
like,
this project
fall
together.
Back a little bit. I've been here for 2 days.
Fall back, buddy.
Yeah. So, yeah, after that happens, like, that's when Lisa comes over and is like, hey, Tori, can you help me out? And that's when she's like, only if you're cool to me. And then everything's A-okay.
Yeah.
So the next scene is they're back in whatever class this is presenting their advertising projects.
Yes. And once again, the mystery of Saved by the Bell time, this class is now first thing in the morning.
Right.
Yeah.
It was in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And now it's first thing in the morning.
Now it's first thing in the morning.
That I didn't even, you're totally right.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, because it was after the parking lot thing.
And the dance committee meeting.
Yes.
And, yeah.
You're 100% correct. Yeah. So now this has changed times. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so the first presenters that we see are Screech and Slater, mm-hmm. and they are presenting their fakey glasses with windshield wipers on them.
Yeah.
Their presentation takes 2 minutes. That's generous.
That's really generous.
That's generous. Under 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And the teacher is real psyched about
it. Yeah, he's wrapped by it.
I mean, he's like, good job, guys.
there's a squirt gun involved.
Yes.
I mean, it's...
It could not have taken less work.
No.
Less effort.
It's
and the
terrible.
Teacher is like, A+, dude.
He's all about it, which I guess, you know, that makes sense in the real world of advertising.
Yeah, I mean, right. I mean, I guess it's
not
like
the cream rises to the crop.
Right. So he's like... Good job, dudes. There's almost zero effort put into that,
yeah.
but I'm giving you an A.
Yeah, you were very enthusiastic.
So then, Zach's turn, right? Mm-hmm. And Tori's not there, so he's like shitting it in the back of the room. So the teacher's like, Zach, where's your partner? He's like, I don't know, but it's part of the project. Like, he's trying to save himself.
Yeah.
So he gets up, he starts his, and actually, I guess if I didn't think anything could take less effort, I was wrong. Because this does. He has 3 pieces of poster board, each just with words written on them.
But it was very evocative of, like, if you've ever been in a meeting where the PowerPoint is just somebody putting up slides and reading what's on the slides. This was, like, prescient.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened.
Yes.
Zach just has poster boards, and he, like, says a word and turns them over, and that's what is written
on them.
Totally.
It's, like, the equivalent of power, like you just said, PowerPoint, mm-hmm. where it's the template. Times New Roman.
Uh-huh.
Somebody just wrote some words.
And we all laughed, but little did we know that would all be our lives.
Yeah, that's
years.
Exactly. Yeah, because he just says, hey, my thing is a computerized date book. It's for people 18 to 35. And then he turns over a poster board that just says 18 to 35 on it. So he does that for the next 3 things he says. And then he's like pacing because he's just like, shit, Tori isn't here yet or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then she runs in, and that's when... Quick thinking,
the
Zach.
The wheels start turning
totally.
In Zach's head.
And he's like, hey, didn't you know we had this presentation? And she catches on to me. She's yes-anding.
Mm-hmm.
She's heralding.
She is yes-anding left and right.
Which, that actually, if I'm her, I don't know if I would have been like, what are you talking about? Like,
oh,
I don't
yeah.
know if I'd have so quickly.
No, especially, bear in mind, she's been up until 4 in the morning painting leaves.
Yeah.
And that's why she's late. So she can't be at her sharpest right now.
And these are teenagers. They ain't drinking coffee before they come to school.
They're stupid. So although they do have that hot drink machine.
That is true. Later in the dance, they do have a coffee machine. Well, so she goes, she immediately catches on, though. She's like,
mm-hmm.
oh, yeah, you're right. If I'd had one of these, I totally wouldn't have been late.
Which is when they should realize that they have, like, great professional chemistry and that they make a good team or something.
Totally.
But Zach basically saves her bacon and then is angry about it. So he pulls a whole, well, if Tori had had one of these computer date books,
right,
this never would have happened. And the teacher is fucking floored.
Dude. It is.
He's never seen anything better.
Oh, my God. And again, this is clocking in at under a minute, I feel like, this one.
Mm-hmm.
for a presentation to the class, and the teacher is like, holy shit, you guys.
His mind is blown.
You are geniuses. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think any other teacher would go, okay, that was a cool skit. That must be part of a further presentation you're going to make. But no, he's like, that 1 minute of work you did?
Yeah.
A plus.
It's like the Mean Joe Green Super Bowl spot to him. He's like, holy shit, that they've created something iconic.
Oh, totally.
It's amazing.
It's like, where's the beef? Like, they did it.
This advertising teacher is shitting his pants.
They just made, where's the beef? I'm falling and I can't get up. And this is it.
All
Coke,
of those things
all
combined.
Totally. I couldn't even think of a third one. This is it is a Coke thing, right?
I think so. Yeah. What's the one where they throw the sledgehammer at the screen? Is that IBM?
Oh!
Yeah.
That and also the Memorex. Is it live or is it Memorex with the guy's hair blowing?
Mm-hmm.
They did all of that at one
at
time.
At once.
Yeah. So, yeah, the teacher's like, good job, you got an A.
Mm-hmm.
And then they walk out in the hall, and he goes, and Zach's like, okay. He goes, cool. We never have to work together again. Goodbye.
Yeah, he basically gives her the get out of my life. I don't want to know you.
And it's like, until tomorrow when I sit next to you in whatever class that just was.
Yeah, just when you think that nobody on this episode could overreact to anything more, Zach tops them all and is like, they literally have lockers directly adjacent.
Yes.
And he's like, I never want to see you again.
He's like, goodbye.
Good
out
riddance.
Of my life.
Yeah.
And she is like, okay, like that's when she starts to be like, but don't you want to hang out?
That's when she realizes that she loves him, clearly. Yeah. I mean, it's just like, and it's such a...
And you go, based on what?
Based on what?
Yeah, because we're watching it, we're like, these two people have only been mean to each other and since
and
we've
seen
them.
And not liked each other at all.
Yeah.
They have zero chemistry.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Or maybe it's just based on their improv. So, like, after improvising off each other, she's like, he gets
it.
Yeah,
he gets it.
He gets yes anding.
Yeah, he gets yes anding.
Let's take a UCB class together, Zach Morris. That's what she's thinking. So, the next scene, for some reason, is Zach alone at the Max.
By himself.
Sitting by himself at
like
the table.
Like Charles Bukowski.
Yes, yes.
So weird.
And it makes no sense.
Like, it doesn't.
Again, this is the coolest dude in like the town.
And this is like alternate universe Zach Morris in this episode. It's like, it doesn't make any sense. His mojo is gone.
Totally. So he's sitting there alone. Tori comes and sits down. And that's when she's like trying to flirt with him.
Yeah.
She's trying to find out who he's going to the dance with.
Mm-hmm.
And he is like, I mean, rightfully so. He's like, why do you care?
Yeah.
And then that's when she kind of loses. I feel like this is the time where she on her own was trying to flirt. Like, she's making a conscious effort.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to flirt with this guy. But then ends up clowning on all the girls he dates.
Yeah. Which, big mistake. Lisa is like, later on in the episode, never make fun of the women that Zach goes out with. And I didn't realize that this is like a principle of his, that he likes to go out with stupid women, but you can't be mean about it.
Right. Well, that's never happened before. Like, this is the first episode.
It doesn't make any sense.
Where, like, he's dated a quote-unquote bimbo, I guess. Because previously it's either Kelly.
Yeah.
Or, you know, whatever, Danielle, the college girl. Like, it's never been like this, like, the blonde bimbo.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so she fails at flirting with him and, like, storms off, leaving him weirdly alone at the Max. And then, the next scene is she's in the locker room with Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
Lisa wearing a delightful ensemble.
Oh, it's amazing.
It's, first of all, head-to-toe denim.
Head-to-toe denim.
Denim button-down tucked into jeans.
Yep.
Tucked into cowboy boots.
Uh-huh.
Cowboy boots that look very similar to the one on the shirt.
The shirt is adorned with boots. I think they're appliques.
Yes.
Applique boots.
And it just says boots.
In case you were unclear as to the nature, the leitmotif of the outfit.
It is.
It's boots.
Embroidered. The word B-O-O-T-S.
Boots. Yes.
Embroidered into the denim. I mean, what is that? What is that?
It's pretty great. It's a really explicit outfit.
It's just like, I didn't know.
It says what it is.
Lisa was such a boot enthusiast.
Apparently.
That it's like, I gotta wear head-to-toe cowboy boots.
Yeah,
how do I get
incredible.
Cowboy boots on my chest? I can't just have them on my feet.
On my feet. That's not enough. It's
I want
not
them
enough
on
boots.
My chest, so I gotta embroider them on this.
Yeah.
So, that's when Tori storms in. And, Lisa's like, what's going on? And she's like, Zach sucks. And Lisa's like, wait, since when do you want to date this guy?
Yeah. She's like, you're having an attack of the moans.
Yeah.
Your teenage moans
totally.
Speaking.
Because she's like, what? And then, you know, Tori's like, I like him now, apparently. Yeah. And I don't know
Lisa
what to do.
Lisa isn't like, why? But yeah. She should be, logically.
Yeah.
But
then that's when she tells, she goes, well, did you flirt with him? And Tori's like, yeah, totally. And she's like, did, by making fun of the girls he dates? And she's like, yeah, duh.
Yeah.
And then that's when Lisa's like, oh, that's a terrible
idea.
She's
like, yeah, that's a horrible idea. Big mistake. Which it wasn't like, oh, well, now she knows. It just, none of it made any sense at all.
So
to be very clear, this was not a linear story.
But then Lisa tries to go, look, here's what you got to do. You got to be a girly girl.
Yeah. And she's like, there's no way you're coming to my dance dressed like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is mean as shit.
Mean as shit.
Coming from a lady with the word boots across her chest.
On her boob, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, you don't really have the right to tell anybody what to wear.
Yeah, she doesn't want Tori to show up looking like a fashion disaster in classic denim.
Yeah.
Come on. It's a look that never goes out of style.
I mean, Ari, if you look at this, like, Tori looked way cooler than her.
She really did. Tori looks normal.
Yeah.
Until the dance.
She's like, you need to, like, be a girl, bat your eyelashes, do that dumb shit.
Hot it up a little bit.
This is another scene I really did identify with. Because I feel like people told me that, not like friends, but that was, like, the message.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't do that.
Yeah.
I'm Kim Deal. I can't do those things.
I was very much, you know, I had, like, short hair and, I worked at a restaurant and I didn't wear any makeup, and people would always say, you know, if you put in a little effort,
oh my, you'd make more tips. Me too.
Well, and it was like, what the fuck?
No. Well, that was my thing with like getting dudes. Cause I'd be like, why don't these dudes like me? And it was, I was like, I had blue hair. Mm-hmm. I was like 120 minutes reject. Yeah. And it was like, well, why, if you be a little
just
girlier,
tone it down a little bit.
Yes.
Less of this.
Yes. And I was like, I don't know how to do less of this. Yeah, I still don't know how to do less of this.
I'm finding myself. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah. I did sadly identify with that.
Yeah.
And maybe this is kind of fucked up to say. When I didn't start wearing makeup until I turned 30.
Mm.
That's true. And that wasn't even like a feminist statement. It was like laziness, 100% laziness. But also, I didn't have money as a kid.
Yeah.
That was another thing. As a teenager and in college, you don't have like expendable income to like buy a bunch of makeup and fashion.
No.
So once I graduated college and had like adult money, then I started getting into clothes. And to me, it was like a costume, because I'm like super into David Bowie. So then I also started getting into like weird. I'm going to wear weird green glitter eyeshadow because like now I can. But I know there's a part of me. This is getting like too deep into just me that it is kind of costumey. Like there's a part where like I know my personality is like super dude-ish.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, I'm going to wear like flowery. And I like it anyway, aesthetically.
Uh-huh.
But I was like, I'm going to start wearing like flowery dresses to try to balance this out.
I don't think Bayside would have been ready for you, frankly.
I'm saying I only realized these things as an adult.
Yeah.
I swear to God, when I turned 30, I was like, also when I was a teenager and I was into Riot Girl. Mm-hmm. I'm not like I was some like worldly, like it was like real feminism 101 basic shit.
Mm-hmm.
But that's when I started getting into Riot Girl, and this is fucked up. But in my mind, I was like, you can't be a feminist unless you're like a tough bitch.
Yeah.
Like if you acted like Ginger, you weren't like a real feminist, which that's fucked up. That's wrong. But as a teenager, that was my shit.
Oh yeah.
And so not when I turned 30 was when I was like, oh, you can wear like dresses with flowers on them and be a badass bitch.
It's not about the outfit.
It took me that long to like realize those things can coexist.
You could have a shirt that said boots on it and still be a feminist.
Thank you for bringing it back to Saved by the Bell, and
no,
not
I'm
my
obsessed.
Own personal.
That shirt is gonna haunt my dreams. I'm gonna close my eyes tonight and see that shirt.
It is
I'm gonna see boots
again. That's one of those outfits on here where I feel like even my mom would go, "What?"
Yeah,
like my mom wears some whack shit from Cachet, and she'd be like, "No,
that's
not wearing the boots shirt."
That's like only something that a woman would wear to like a church picnic.
Oh my God, totally.
Yeah,
a woman of 50 plus
a
years,
a woman
of, age.
Of 50 plus with like a frosted perm,
frosted tips,
yes, like a real estate agent lady nails,
yes,
yeah. It's a lot 100%.
Okay, sorry, I went off on myself too much. I'm just saying,
well, that's okay.
I really identify with Tori.
Oh, yeah.
In some moments.
Yeah. Well, I did until this episode. It was a few moments. But then Tori goes full she's all that / pretty woman / whatever.
Yes.
Shows up at the dance in like a blue velvet. You said perhaps Jessica McClintock?
Jessica McClintock, prom dress. Well, first, just real quick, I do want to point out.
Oh, sure.
When we, as soon as we open on the fall ball, God. There is a giant banner that says Lisa Turtles fall ball.
And what did I say immediately? It's like Lee Daniels, the butler.
Totally.
It's like Lisa Tyler Turtles, Perry's. Tyler Perry's.
Whatever. Now, no school would let you do that.
Never.
If you went to the principal and you're like, okay, I'm going to call it April Richardson's prom. They'd be like, well, no, you're not. Like, that's not allowed.
If you somehow dragoon A.C. Slater into indentured servitude where he's painting leaves until 4 in the morning, and then you're like, also, make my name out of wood.
No, they'd be like, no.
Put it in letters. They would be like, go fuck yourself,
Lisa. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So that wouldn't be allowed at all. But yeah, so it says we open on Lisa Turtle's fall ball. And that's, you're right. That's when
unbelievable
Tori totally pulls us. She's all that like, oh, you took your glasses off and now you're hot.
Yeah. And also the dress code for this dance is really kind of, there's a guy in a like a turtleneck sweater. Fine. There's like a woman wearing kind of like one of those baby doll dresses with a lot of the flowers on them.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty chill.
It's pretty chill. Tori is like really like very overdressed.
Oh, yeah.
Like looks like she's going to like a fundraiser in 1988.
Yeah. It totally is.
Yeah, like full updo. I think that she has like dangly Swarovski crystal earrings.
Yes. Updo, crystals on the dress.
It's a
pantyhose.
Lot. Pantyhose, high heels.
Like way overdressed.
She's outdressed Lisa, which is like, you don't do that.
Because you even said Lisa's wearing some kind of weird like suit, power suit.
Yes.
That has like
which beads. Bedazzled. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, she seriously.
But it still is like a blazer. It's like a pantsuit.
It's like a pantsuit. It looks like, you know those ads that they have for like banquet halls that have weddings, and there's always like a married Slovenian couple in their 60s, and they're like, we love to host your event. That's exactly what Lisa is wearing.
It's so right on.
It's horrifying.
Totally.
Not. It's very matronly.
I wonder if there are ever times where Lisa, in real life, like Lark Voorhees, like if the costume department came to her and was like, here's what Lisa's wearing in the next scene, that she was like, what?
Were you sure?
Yeah.
We're children.
Yeah.
You realize like, you're supposed to be children.
You're playing a teenager and not a 50-year-old woman.
Well, also, whoever was the set dresser for this one, Lisa is holding a tray of like sandwich fixings, like cold cuts. Yes.
You did point out, like, yeah, when she comes in to go, hey, Tori, go flirt with Zach, she's just holding a tray of meat.
Yeah, like with a lettuce garnish.
Which I'm like, at this fall ball, was there a sandwich bar?
Yeah, apparently.
That is not a thing that's at dances.
That's not. That does not happen.
Like,
that
would make never a sandwich happen at our fall ball while you dance.
And everybody is, you know, in the background dancing to royalty-free keyboard music. Slater is literally kind of gyrating around a fake tree.
The one dude in the sweater or whatever who's like right behind Zach was my favorite.
Yeah.
But everyone in general is doing some pretty sweet moves to fake songs.
It's the Twin Peaks fall ball, basically.
Oh my God, totally.
It's
and my
weird.
Favorite is when you, Zach, like a song comes on and Tori is like, I love this song. And you go, no, you don't. You go, it's not a real song.
It's not a real song. It's like somebody backstage like playing a demo. On a Casio.
I mean, they're totally royalty-free stock footage music. So, yeah, but they're like, I love the song, let's go dance to it. And
she throws herself at him.
Yeah, like she says, she's trying to be like, I really love dancing. And Zach's like, okay. And then that's when Ginger comes up and is like, hey, let's dance to this song.
Because Zach and Ginger are dates. They're at the dance together. And Tori acts like it's some sort of front that Zach is dancing with the girl that he came to the dance with.
Like, if anything, that's the one non-dick thing Zach's done the whole episode.
She also acted like Zach was supposed to pour her a glass of punch when she was standing right in front of the punch
bowl. That was
like,
weird.
It was like Victorian England.
Yes. Thank you. That
I disapprove.
That flirt move, I was like, that didn't even track, because I'm like, no one, teenager, you just get yourself punched.
Yeah, you would never do that.
But when he goes to dance with Ginger, she literally storms off, like in a huff.
She kicks off her high heel shoes.
Yes. And you're
which
right.
Which are inappropriate,
like,
for the occasion.
That guy's not a dick. He's dancing
with his
you're
date.
Not his date. That girl's his date.
It's a little crazy.
Yeah. And then, but then Lisa also is kind of like, God, what a dick. And I'm like, he's not he's doing the totally normal thing,
exactly what he should.
Yeah,
he's fine.
So she storms off, and then that's when Lisa comes in, cuts in, with him dancing with his date.
Again, very rude.
Yes.
And poor Ginger
is basically like, why are you being such a dick? And that, and Zach, rightfully so at this time, is like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And then Lisa's like, yo, Tori's trying to get on your dick, like, really hard, and you're ignoring her.
Now, to take that back to actual high school, if a guy friend came up to you and was like, my friend Todd wants to get a piece, what's your problem?
Right.
You'd be like, get away from
me. Yeah, you'd just be like, well, I choose whether or not I like Todd.
Also, I'm here with another person.
Yeah.
You're scaring me.
Yeah, it's a weird kind of like, he's not obligated, just because someone likes you. It's like your scenario, it's like, well, come on, Todd said he liked you.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I don't like him. I'm not obligated.
Lisa's like, put out Zach. Come on.
It is a weird sort of like,
frigid.
Look, she likes you, so you have to like her back.
Yeah. And in continuing with the complete lack of sexual chemistry, then they have kind of a detente in the hallway.
Yeah.
Where she's sitting on the stairs, unhygienic.
Yeah.
In that dress.
In her pantyhose feet.
In her pantyhose, her pantyhose feet. And he's like, hey, I'm sorry. It's take two.
Yeah.
Which, why would you do that?
Yeah.
I would be like, oh, I'm sorry. You're crazy.
I would just be like, look, we're not friends. Like, I've been here 2 days. We've been nothing but jerks to each other.
Yeah.
I'm kind of embarrassed. I get it. You're not into me. You're dating Ginger.
Yeah.
Like, cool, dude. Whatever. Just later. Later for you. Yeah. It just wouldn't be like a big deal. I just would be like, or I would have, I almost would have been mad at least. I'd just be like, I get that this guy doesn't like me.
Yeah.
I'm going to go home. I don't need any more embarrassment. You she know?
She wants more. Well, and that's the other thing,
she's
too.
Like demanding that he like her.
Yeah. It's very unattractive.
Yeah.
I mean, even if he was into her at all, it's like one of those things when even if somebody is really hot, if they have a crappy personality, you're like, ugh,
yeah. You're just like, never mind.
So, yeah, he hardcore friend zones her. He's like, welp, see ya.
Yes.
It's amazing.
Yes, because after he goes, let's start over, she's like, wait a minute, gets her leather jacket out of the locker, puts it on, and is like, all right.
Now I'm me again.
Yes.
Which is when, if this were not bizarro Bayside, he would say something like, now you look more like you, or this is how I like you, or something like that.
Yes, but instead he's like, cool, good job, pal, and like slaps her on the shoulder like a bro.
Yeah, like a bro.
And then that's it. So it is the weirdest. You are totally right as far as like Zach is being the most un-Zach he's ever been in this episode.
All of the rules of the Bayside universe kind of go out the window in this one.
Yeah, they do, because not only is Zach un-Zach, this is a rare episode where Mr. Belding actually like shows authority. Like the parking thing, he actually says no.
Yeah.
To Zach. Like it's a rare episode where Zach doesn't get what he wants.
And Mr. Belding is not trying to get the kids to like him. He's just like, all right, let's get this dance committee meeting over with.
Yeah, he's just being a principal.
Here's the handbook.
Yes.
Very specific.
Yeah. It is. This is an interesting off the beaten path, like weird for Bayside episode.
Yeah, and not even like a Zach's being taken out of his comfort zone. It just doesn't. It makes no sense.
Yeah,
Slater is on the dance committee.
Yes,
he's bringing apples into restaurants.
Yes, yes,
yeah,
yeah. So that's how it ends. Is with, like you said, Tori is firmly in the friend zone. He's like, "See you later, buddy," and that's it.
Yeah,
that's it for the first Tori up.
I'm really disturbed.
Well, so. You clearly then, your history with the show, you watched it growing up.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so were you into it? Was it ironic? Were you into it?
I liked it. I was, you know, my dad thought that I was too young for it, and he thought that they made too many sexual references.
You're joking.
No. And so
it's so like G-rated though.
It's, well, but like, I think that he heard all of the wooing that goes on the show and assumed that they were like tossing out like all kinds of like super dirty double entendres left and right.
Yeah.
And so one time he gave me and my sister a steno pad much like this and made us like count every time somebody said something sexual. And we like argued with him. We were like, that wasn't sexual. And he was like, yes, it was. So,
whoa, was your dad really strict?
No. And the funny, he was not even really that strict. I think my dad went through a phase where he like decided he was going to be like, I'm a power dad. Like,
right.
I'm an authority figure. And I think the show just annoyed him and he was trying to come up with an idea why it shouldn't. I am dead serious.
Like, I just don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
So I got to think of a reason why you guys can't watch
it.
No,
that's like, you know, when I was a nanny, like a a million years ago, I would come up with reasons why, like, kids couldn't watch Pirates of the Caribbean. I'd be that, like, no, I'm
and it's
sorry.
Just because you didn't want to watch it.
No, but I would come up with, like, a bananas reason, like, Johnny Depp, like, did something terrible to my family. Like, I can't watch it. So that's like,
is
this
so
is exactly
awesome.
What my dad was doing. But
did the kids believe you?
Oh, well, they were like, yeah. They're like stupid. Little kids. Yeah, they were like 6 years old. So yeah. You can tell them anything and they have to believe you. It's probably like the best part about being an authority figure around kids. But I mean, I really liked the show. And then I remember I kind of got over it at the same time the show just tanked. Like, I guess probably the college years when everybody was let it die.
Me too. So. I watched all of the college. I watched every episode, mm-hmm. but it was like out of obligation.
Yeah.
I like didn't enjoy it. I didn't like
perfunctory.
It was.
Enjoyment.
It was just like, well, I already put all the time in. I'll watch these.
Yeah.
But yeah. I didn't like the two girls that they got to replace, like Jesse and Lisa. And then Kelly was weird. Like when she showed up and started dating that professor, I was like, that is weird.
Yeah, that made me uncomfortable.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they were like always sneaking around.
Yeah. Yeah. And they had that weight bench in their room and they were always like lifting weights and just, yeah. It made me, I was
and
not
Zach
for
was
me.
Like real beefy.
Yeah.
He was like real beefy.
They both got super jacked up for
and
that.
And had like long hair.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they had that, Kelly was dating the RA? Somebody's dating the RA.
No, she was dating Professor Lasky. The RA was that wrestler guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was weird.
And he was the belding of it, though, in that he, like, totally hung out with them all the time. And it's like, why are you hanging out with them?
But
you're the adult.
Again, he also looked way too old to be an RA. He looks like he was 40 years old.
Oh, totally.
So, yeah, that was, I had, like, a brief childhood love affair with the show. And then, you know, of course, like, if it was on when I was in college, I'd be like, oh, I'll watch this when I'm stoned.
Because it's just, like, comfort food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, totally.
God, the story about your dad. I love it.
Thanks.
I love
you
even
can keep
like
that one.
I love
you
it.
You have to be your own children.
Even if it was only because he was annoyed by it, just the idea. Because there are times I look back now where I'm like, my parents are like two hands off. They didn't give a fuck about what I watch. Not, they weren't like, they're great parents. Mm-hmm. They weren't like so hands off, but they never monitored anything I watched or listened to. Mm-hmm. And there are certain things where I look back where I'm like, y'all should have. Like,
yeah.
Because my grandparents had HBO. We didn't have cable forever, but my grandparents did. And I went to their house all the time. So I saw shit. Like, I saw, like, a Clockwork Orange when I was, like, 8. And I'm like, that should not have happened. Like, I'm lucky I'm not a serial killer today.
Yeah.
Like, that should not have happened. There are things like that where and then I'd get freaked out. And I was almost like, why are there no adults here?
Yeah.
You should be stopping me from watching this.
I had like a babysitter in the neighborhood who watched a bunch of kids and she was a million years old and she smoked. And, you know, obviously like my mother would never, but this was like 1990 or like 1989 or something like that when you were like, oh, let's smoke in hospitals.
Yeah.
It's fine
yeah,
for
totally.
Kids. Yeah. So she would watch Days of Our Lives and like soaps all day. And I would ask my mom, like, why are the people always napping? And then there was like an older kid who always wanted to watch Aliens. So every once in a while, because she didn't want us all to be in a different room, she would make us watch the same thing. So I saw Aliens when I was like 4 or 5 years old.
Didn't that freak you the fuck out?
Scared the shit out of me. But this babysitter, Mrs. Gracie, her name was, but you know, she's definitely right. Dead now. So I don't feel
she's a vampire.
She's a vampire. Dead. And I was like weeping and she was like, just sit quietly and watch with the rest of the kids. So it was like very
Did you
traumatic.
Tell your mom? Like when your mom got home, you were like, you will not believe what I watched today.
No, I think that I was being like a bad kid. No, I had terrible nightmares, especially since there's a little girl in the second one. So it was like, then you're especially like, that's me. So it was, yeah. I wish that somebody had been, but I never told my mom because, you know, I really thought that I was doing something bad by like not wanting to watch the scary movie. No, it's fine. I love Aliens now. I'm like, hey.
Well, yeah, I never told, it was just my, you know, it's grandparents. They went to bed at like 5.
Yeah.
So then I'm like, okay, I'm up now.
Time to watch Silence of the Lambs on cable.
That was another thing I watched part of.
Too.
Even as a kid, I was like, oh, and I changed the channel.
Yeah,
and I knew
scary.
I couldn't handle it. But so part of me, like I didn't want to tell my parents because I'm like, then I might not be able to watch the cool stuff I do want to watch.
That I actually want to watch.
Like real sex. I was straight up watching real sex when I was like 12.
Oh, yeah.
That should not
happen.
Oh,
my God. No, I know.
Yeah.
This was like before my little brother. I have a brother who's a lot younger who got busted because he didn't realize that on demand tracks like what you watch.
Oh shit! And he was like watching porn.
Yeah, he's like watching like Busty Cheerleaders 5 and shit like
right.
that. And
oh,
you know,
damn.
I was like, in my day, all you did was stay up until midnight.
Yeah,
and you had like TBS up all night.
Yes,
like totally. HBO Real Sex.
Yeah.
All of that stuff. So if you kind of confessed about one thing, then your parents would know everything.
Right.
You didn't want to get that taken away.
Yeah. So
from
I
you.
Was like, even though it would give me crazy nightmares, yeah. I was like, I gotta play this close to the vest. Yeah. Or else I'm not gonna be able to watch
I don't
want to
give up
stuff.
My clown sex.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
My taxi cab confessions.
Like old people. That was the thing. Like, obviously I'm a little kid, I'm like, I wanna know what sex is. I'm curious. But then it was always like, you know, old dudes in like leather chaps. And I'm like, oh, this looks like my granddaddy with a boner. Like, nah, dude.
I have this like super, super vivid memory about one about swingers.
And yes. Yes. And it wasn't like primarily old people.
They were all old people. Yes. And there was a part where this guy, oh my God, this is horrible. He dips his balls in like chocolate syrup
totally
and sprinkles.
Remember this.
And I was with my sister at the time. We screamed. Yes. Like we screamed yes. like we'd yes. been stabbed with spears.
Yes.
It was horrifying.
Yes. It's amazing that you bring that up because I actually used to do a stand-up bit about like the finding of porn, like the rite of passage of the finding of porn and yeah. like how it's just so different between mm-hmm. girls and dudes. Because yeah. like dudes, it's just it's like, oh, my life's only going to be better from now on. And then us, it's like horrifying.
Like, oh my God.
It's like dick is like an acquired taste.
Yeah.
Like 12-year-olds are not like, I want to see more big hard no. dicks. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Or like
no.
floppy man nipples,
yes.
gray hair
or
on
like
them.
Balls.
Well, because like, especially guys get this very nice introduction. It's always like some friend who's like, hey, I found this in my dad's toolbox.
Yeah. And it's like a Playboy where it's like, yeah. exactly. It's like beautiful women. And then for us, it's like old wrinkly boners.
Old wrinkly boners.
And you're like, oh, that's the first one of those I've seen.
Yeah.
Is that what they're all going to look like?
Oh, great.
No.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
They're all horrifying.
Yeah. This is the best way this podcast has ever ended. I'll never Burn. Have a better end. Okay. Well, you are Boobs Radley on Twitter.
I'm Boobs Radley on Twitter.
Anything else that you want to plug? This is actually, this will be up in a couple of weeks.
Okay. So the Sirens on USA is ending this week. So okay. You could watch that on Hulu, I guess.
Yes.
Great show. Grace and Frankie is going to come up on Netflix in 2015, and it's going to be really fun.
Oh, I'm going to, and yeah, I'd like, you know, I'm all about Netflix, so I'm totally watching it.
Sweet.
Okay, and for those of you guys listening and watching along at home, the next episode I'm going to be covering is the Bayside Triangle. That is the next episode we're going to be covering, and thank you so much for coming to watch TV
thank
with
me. Thank you for having me.
In my 90-degree apartment, and I will see you guys next time on Go Bayside. Beep, 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 go Bayside!